you know, I think we owe a little respect to Booth Boy, and I'm certainly willing to accommodate my curmudgeonliness in appreciation. I broke out the Scrape Master 3000. I had a new congresswoman, the guy says, ask for an aisle seat so that her hair wouldn't get messed up sitting by the window. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to anyone about everything. Today is Thursday, December 11th, 2008. And I'm Max.
I'm the Penguin.
And we are produced by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption. I always try to get that in. I really like that.
Sure, I agree. I like it too, especially considering the fact that I am 8 Beer Sampler Productions.
Well, and I think that that's noteworthy. Of course, we still have consulting aspects from Booth Boy.
Right.
And
you know, I was thinking of about this past week. I'm wondering if we should let Booth Boy graduate, being that he only consults now.
Yeah.
He's not really Booth Boy anymore. I mean, he was called Booth Boy because he was monitoring the show and he was
right.
Texting us when we need
to. So now he's our college boy consultant?
Now he's college boy, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I can live with that. Okay. I thought that was a permanent name, but I'm willing to allow Booth Boy to graduate.
Okay, that sounds good.
I don't like change, though.
I know that you don't, and I appreciate you being willing to change this major.
Well, since Booth Boy got us going. I think we owe a little respect to Booth Boy, and I'm certainly willing to accommodate my curmudgeonliness in appreciation.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So, we're looking outside, and the weather outside is frightful.
Yes.
As they say.
Yes, they let us out an hour early, out of school. Like, my work is like a giant high school. And they sent us home. Because the hills get slippery down here in the Catskills, and we're right at that rain-freeze line.
Well, I know that they let out some of the local high schools, let them out early today. I was shocked because, I mean, you know, when I got to work this morning, it was rainy, but it was relatively warm.
Yeah.
And as the day progressed, it got cooler and cooler, and all of a sudden it was 36 degrees, and I was saying, boy, that's just a couple of ice cubes short of a ice.
Yep, yep.
You know, so.
I broke out the Scrape Master 3000. I have got this ice scraper that I love. That it's got a telescoping wand. It's got a rubber scraper.
Is it really called the Ice Scraper 3000?
No, I call it the Scrape Master 3000.
Okay. That's fine. I like that name.
But I actually cleaned off the frozen back window of my car, without the car being on and the rear defroster going, with like four swipes, because it's got a squeegee on one side of one end, and
right.
It just blew through the warm ice, which is really what it was.
That's one of those things that we could put on Cafe Press and sell.
The Countless Screaming Argonauts Scrape Master 3000. I think maybe we could. We just have to get a little contract, a little promotional contract with somebody from whatever is the company that actually makes the Scrape Master 3000.
Right. We'll have to get them to put that name. Well, actually, we could make stickers. We could make Countless Screaming Argonauts
Scrape
stickers.
Scrape Master 3000.
And stick them, right, and stick them on the handle.
It's wonderful. It's got a big, heavy brush, a hard scraper, and a soft scraper. And it, like I said, a telescoping wand. It can be 2 feet long or it can be 4 feet long.
Wow.
It's made out of aluminum. It's dynamic. I love it.
Great.
When you live in the Northeast, anybody that's like around the Great Lakes knows that you want a good scraper. This is no small tool when you live up here.
Right. I use a credit card because it's not worth anything. It's not worth anything else.
That's true. It's like Manhattan Man said, I've got a 101K.
Right.
So
listen, tonight's theme seems to be shaping up as dumb, dumber, and dumbest.
Brian's rules of social dynamics gone wild.
Right. So why don't we jump in, and I know that you've got...
I got a list that
you got a geography quiz for me or something.
I do,
right?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. I've got
I'm pretty bad at geography, so I probably won't do any better than
I think you're going to know what most of these things were supposed to be or are, however you want to say it. It's a list of things that people from our government have said to airport ticket agents about geography.
Just to ticket agents.
Just to airport ticket agents. I had a new congresswoman, the guy says, ask for an aisle seat so that her hair wouldn't get messed up sitting by the window.
Yeah, it sounds like a politician to me.
Yeah. I got a call from a candidate staffer who wanted to go to Cape Town. I started to explain that the flight and the passport information, and then she interrupted me. I'm not trying to make you look stupid, but Cape Town is in Massachusetts. Without trying to make her look stupid, I calmly explained, Cape Cod is in Massachusetts. Cape Town is in South Africa.
Right.
A senior Vermont congressman.
I wonder if Sarah Palin knew that Cape Town was in South Africa. Because it is a country, right?
Right. Well, yeah. She
right.
probably did.
Okay.
A senior Vermont congressman called, furious about a Florida package we did. When I asked what was wrong with the vacation in Orlando, he said he was expecting an ocean view room. I tried to explain that's not possible since Orlando is in the middle of the state.
Right.
The congressman replied, and I assume these are facts, don't lie to me. I looked on the map, and Florida is a very thin state.
You can see the ocean from my house.
Yeah, that's right. It's another Sarah Palin wonder.
Oh, man.
I got a call.
This must be the ticket agent that arranges for the flights by the congressman, for the congressman, and that the travel agent, right?
Well, it's Dulles, I believe it is. Dulles Airport. It's D.C. anyway. Right. It might be Reagan National. But, you know, it's probably going to be mostly politicians and their staff. You know, and I imagine
right.
if I...
Well, that's why I was asking, because I was trying to determine...
How they would know that it's a congressman?
Right, versus a staffing...
Well, there's a couple in here from the staff people. But basically,
right.
if you work for...
Well, I mean, you know, they're stupid enough to say, hi, this is... You know, this is Senator so-and-so. I don't want an aisle seat. You know, so.
That one was great. So my hair wouldn't get messed up by the window. Are you fucking kidding me?
Go on. This is good.
Very thin state. Let's see. I got a call from a lawmaker's wife who asked, is it possible to see England from Canada? She said they look so close on the map. You know, I mean, the Florida one is bad.
That one's worse.
Now we're not talking about half the width of the state of Florida. We're talking about...
But at least the congressman's wife didn't say, can you see expletive Florida? I mean,
right.
expletive
That's
England
right.
from here?
Fucking Florida. An aide for a cabinet member once called and asked me if he could rent a car in Dallas. When I pulled up the reservation, I noticed he had... only a one-hour layover in Dallas. So I asked him why he had to rent a car. He said, I heard Dallas was a big airport, and we need the car to drive between gates to save time.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Great.
Good.
There's our tax money at work.
Tax dollars at work.
That's right.
Right.
You ready for the next one?
An Illinois
congresswoman called last week. She needed to know how it was possible that her flight from Detroit left at 8:30 and got to Chicago at 8:33. Well,
time travel,
and this one actually
right?
turns out to be true. I mean, they are between time zones.
Right. Well, I know the reason why. Yeah. I was just thinking more in terms of like some sort of Star Trek beam me up, Scotty.
Right, right. Well, this one goes on. The teller explained time zones to her, and she couldn't get it. She didn't understand. So he writes, "Finally, I told her that the plane went fast, and she bought that.
She accepted that. Oh, good.
These are brilliant. That was a congresswoman. It really is. This stuff just shocked me when I read it.
Is there no depth to the
apparently,
stupidity?
Brian's first rule of social dynamics applies.
I guess. We may have to come up with a special...
A congressional
corollary?
We
already have Max's corollary, right? We might have to come up with some sort of congressional, axiom, which is that, that congressmen and senators are...
They're dumber than their constituents.
In regards to geography, dumber than average. Is our school system...
Is our children learning? That's right. Do airlines... Yeah, do
you
airlines put your physical description on the bag, one lady asked. No, said the guy. Well, when I checked in with the airline, they put a tag on my luggage that said FAT, and I'm overweight. I explained that was the Fresno Air Terminal. That's a true one. A senator aide. All right, this one's now the aide to a senator. As opposed to the actual congressperson. Would it be cheaper to fly to California than to take the... Fly to California and then take the train to Hawaii? I blew that one, and it's still funny.
It's still funny, right?
I got another one. I got three or four more. I just got off the phone with a freshman congresswoman, the guy says, who asked, "How do I know which plane to get on?" When I asked him, a freshman congressman, sorry, when I asked him exactly what he meant, he replied, "I was told my flight number is 823, but none of these planes have numbers on them." This one, that one actually confused me for a bit. I of course, I've never flown commercially, so I have that going for me. But I did wonder where the flight numbers were. So I have a little sympathy for that guy. All right. A female United States senator, now this narrows things down a little bit, called and said, "I need to fly to Pepsi-Cola, Florida. Do I have to get on one of those little commuter planes?" I asked if she meant to fly to Pensacola, Florida on a commuter plane. And she said, "Yeah, whatever, smarty."
Smarty. Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, these
no
people
problem.
are a little bit too pampered, I think. Pepsi Cola, Florida.
I guess. That reminds not to interrupt you, but that reminds me. When I worked for the remember I was talking about the armored car company job? Well, I said that I worked three different jobs for them.
Is
but
that
it
right?
was actually four. Because I was I was actually a truck like an organizer for the packaging.
Like a router?
The bags of money and security would come in these big canvas bags, and they all had tags on them. And you would read the tag and sort by that, and then they'd be put into these laundry basket kind of truck things. And then when it was ready to go the next morning, the truck would say, "Well, I'm going here," and then you would roll those particular bins over to the truck and load. Well, the guy who used to take the guy who was in charge of taking the stuff off of the trucks used to have this thing where he would call different towns on Long Island weird names.
And so, he used silly to name, sure.
Right. He used to refer to Massapequa as Matsapizza. And when you said said Pepsi Cola Florida, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. Matsapizza. It would be a we'd be a perfect match. Pepsi Cola, Florida, and Matt's Pizza, Long Island.
Yeah, the old boss at the pizza shop used to make up names for places we'd go. He'd say, instead of the Ramada Inn, he'd say, "Take this pizza out to the Ramada Inn."
Right.
silly names for a lot of these places. I, you know, do you think that it's possible that Pepsi Cola Florida, the woman was just trying to be funny?
No.
You think she really wanted this to go to Pepsi Cola Florida?
I don't think most of those guys have a sense of humor whatsoever. I think that that's what she thought it was. She probably heard it said a couple of times, and that's what she thought it was.
I think you might have a really salient point about the sense of humor. And that's important. You know, if our government, if no one in our government has a sense of humor, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, big time.
All right, I got...
a couple more at least?
I got two
more.
All right,
go for it.
All right. A New York senator called and asked a question about the documents he needed. He needed in order to fly to China. After a lengthy discussion about passports, I reminded him that he needed, guess, a visa. Oh, no, I don't. I've been to China many times and have never had to have one of those. I double-checked, and sure enough, his stay required a visa. When I told him this, he said, look, I've been to China four times, and every time they have accepted my American Express.
I knew that was coming. That was a bit obvious.
Yeah, but come on. You know, I can understand to some degree a United States congressman being stupid. You don't have to have achieved much to be a congressman. Yeah, you have to belong to the right party affiliation for the majority of the people in your district and have a big mouth.
But
United States senators, the Senate's supposed to be the upper body. And people in the United States Senate are supposed to understand what is the difference between a visa and a passport.
You would hope they would, wouldn't you?
You would think so. Anyway, one more. A New Mexico congresswoman called to make reservations. I want to go from Chicago to Rhino, New York. I was at a loss for words. Finally, I said, are you sure the name of the town? Yes, what flights do you have? Well, after some searching, I came back with, I'm sorry, ma'am, I looked in every airport code in the country, and I can't find Rhino anywhere. The lady retorted, oh, don't be silly. Everyone knows where it is. Check your map. So I scoured the map of the state of New York and finally offered, do you mean Buffalo? Whatever, I was a big animal. Rhino, New York.
Right.
This your tax dollars at work. So that's what I had. I thought they were pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. That really, really is.
Probably needed a little better way to deliver them, but there you go.
No, I thought that was pretty. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's just amazing because this is, you know, like you said, your money at work.
Right.
So let's move on. We got a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of stuff. Well, you know, let's keeping with the theme of politicians. Okay, I got this Baltimore politician who just recently proposed an ordinance for the city of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Okay, and what he wants to do is he wants to get rid of the ordinance for the state, or no, for the city, that says that the Star Spangled Banner has to be sung without any altering of the words or embellishments.
Right.
All right. And the reason he wants to do that is because at the Baltimore Orioles baseball games, when the music starts, all the fans yell out the first word of the national anthem.
Right.
Which is, oh.
Say, can you see?
Right. So I'm looking at that, Max, and I'm saying to myself, well, first of all, I'm so glad that Baltimore has conquered all of its hunger, crime, and school problems.
Right.
Because if you have time to be worrying about shouting oh at the national anthem at Baltimore Oriole games, you must have already taken care of all this other stuff.
Yes, yes. Right. Clearly
this guy has way too much time on his hands.
He has too much time on his hands. And you know, and I wish I'd invented it, and we probably should come up with a different version, but we need a Get Over Yourself award.
Yeah.
You know, let's stop legislating the way people should feel. Come on, right. They're having a little fun with the national anthem. Can we possibly survive?
But, you know, that got me thinking. I know exactly what you're saying, but that got me thinking. You know what bothers me about this even more?
What?
What bothers me about this is that these are the same kinds of politicians that want to create laws that say you can't burn the flag. They want to challenge my constitutional right of free speech.
Right, right.
And then they go around and they encourage people to shout, "Oh!" during the national anthem because it's a Baltimore Oriole thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's just...
Inconsistent?
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Very inconsistent.
Hypocritical, even?
Hypocritical, yeah. Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So that bothered me, but I am glad that Baltimore is now the perfect city.
Yes.
These guys have time for that crap.
Would that it were true. There's actually a lot of problems in Baltimore.
Baltimore's horrible.
Yeah.
And because they have councilors like this James Kraft.
Right.
This guy.
Well, it will at least be able to shout, "Oh."
Right, at least.
You know. Get over yourself.
All right, so here we go. Let's move on a little bit. Max, if I say to you, what does the Westboro Baptist Church mean? You know right away what I'm talking about, right?
Right, it's that asshole ultra conservative. You know, this guy
gets... Fred Phelps is his name, right?
Right, a preacher who is protesting at American soldiers' funerals because America somehow tolerates gays.
Right? And so that's why people die in Iraq, because we tolerate gays.
Yeah.
Well, he's taken on a new cause. Yeah. I don't know if you knew about this, but you're probably aware of the problems out in the state of Washington with the Christmas display and stuff in the...
Yeah, I saw the note.
In the state capitol.
Right.
Okay. So he wants to... There was some argument because some atheist groups wanted to put an atheist statement there because the Catholics or Christians were allowed to put a nativity scene and some other groups, Jewish groups, were able to put a menorah and stuff like that. So they wanted to put a statement about stuff. Well, he wants to put a statement about Santa Claus there.
Right.
And I'm going to read you the statement.
I am ready.
This is the statement he wants to put up. "You better watch out. Get ready to cry. You better go hide. I'm telling you why. 'Cause Santa Claus will take you to hell. He is your favorite idol. You worship at his feet. But when you stand before your God, he won't help you take the heat."
Right. Because this guy's got
this fact. "You're feeling God's hate. Santa's to blame for the economy's fate. Santa Claus will take you to hell."
You know, where do you start with this guy?
I don't know. But, you know, I know a whole bunch of stores that would take umbrage at that last statement. Santa is to blame for the economy's fate. You know, without Christmas, these guys would be dying.
Well, there is, yes, you there know, absolutely is an association between Santa and the economy. Generally, Santa saves the economy every year, just in the nick of time. Something about this wants to make me start with bad poetry. But I keep jumping back to the Get Over Yourself Award. This guy needs to take a Valium.
He needs more than that. You know, I think somebody needs to give him a needle and put him to... No, that would be my recommendation.
This is just awful. Come on, buddy. And you know, I'm sure he's serious. And what's...
I'm sure he is, too. I mean, he protests at funerals. He protests at military funerals.
And the thing is, the funerals thing, well, of course it's absurd, but he's protesting at the funerals of American soldiers who, in most cases, statistically 90% of us are not gay, about homosexuality, you know,
right,
which is like going to Long John Silver's and protesting about the Big Mac.
Right.
You know, I mean, get a fucking clue. Maybe that's the award we need. Get a fucking clue award.
I tell you, when I read it, I was beside myself.
But were you laughing
really
or
was
crying?
Well, I was doing a little bit of both, I have to admit. you know, because like you said, he's got to get over himself. Yeah. The guy needs some help.
But worse than that, he has followers.
You know, when horses are injured, they put them to sleep. I mean, that's what this guy needs.
Is injured. He really is. He's injured in the brain.
He is. You know.
It's hard to imagine. They talk about what would Christ do. That a modern day Christ would say, "You're my boy." You know.
Right.
I was hoping somebody was going to come out against Santa Claus. Thank God for Reverend Phelps.
Right.
Or is that thank me for Reverend Phelps?
No, I don't think so. Thank me for Reverend Phelps. Yeah, I don't think so.
What a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, it's the truth. Like I said, you know, between a piece of shit and put him down with some medication. I mean, either one of those is a natural reaction to
the
story.
All right, you got something funnier?
I got three in a row, okay? I'm kind of calling this one the cops trifecta.
All right.
All right, three different stories, three different parts of the country, but they all have the same theme, okay? All right, the first one. A Muncie, Indiana woman was arrested after she was stopped by a state trooper for a traffic violation. She asked the state trooper if she could smoke while he was riding her up.
Which seems reasonable.
And he said, right? And he said, okay, and she lit up a doobie.
Yeah. Come on, lady.
At which point she was arrested.
You know what I think? I think she should run for Congress. She's obviously smart enough.
Or she should go for that church. Maybe she could be the new pastor of that church.
Well, I'm sure that would be a definite boon to the church. All of those people need to light up a doobie.
All right, so now you got the theme.
Yeah.
Okay, a person in trouble with the police and then does something dumb.
We'll call this segment Do the Wrong Thing.
Right, the second one, and this is from the Lower Hudson Valley.
Right.
This is right here in your neck
My
of the
neighborhood,
woods.
For sure.
Okay. A Garnerville man was arrested for, I don't even know if it says what he was arrested for, but he was arrested on two lesser counts, it says, and he appeared before the judge, and the judge said, I'll set bail so that you can, you know, pay bail and get out, and the guy says, all I have is $200. And the judge says, okay, the bail is $200. And the guy pulls out two counterfeit
$100
bills and tries to pay his
bail
with two fake $100
right.
bills, at which point he was arrested and put back in jail for possession of an illegal currency.
Right. Forgery. What the hell is
so
the word
again,
that we
I mean,
want?
It's the same. I mean, what, you know, what goes through your mind? Maybe they'll take this fake $100 bill? I mean, come on.
Yeah. We don't know. Does the guy... We just don't know whether the guy knew they were frauds or not.
Well, no, it doesn't say whether he knew it or not, but it doesn't matter at that
point. Right, right.
At that point, you're going to jail. You're going to jail again.
He tried to bail himself out with counterfeit money. This is not the Boy Genius Award.
No, this guy does not win any awards whatsoever. So now the third one is right in the same alley, right in the same ballpark. All right? And basically this guy's situation was, this is in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right.
Okay, two police officers see a guy crossing the street, but he's not in the crosswalk. So they decide that they are going to simply stop him.
Now, I'm gonna give a little bit of this away and ask, if you were a felon, would you walk in the street when there's a sidewalk?
No,
right.
I would not do that.
Okay.
But he did, anyway. So the cops stop him, and they're just going to let him know that what he's doing is illegal, and they're going to let him go. So they say to him, what's your name? And the guy says, my name is...
Darnell Lewis.
Right? But on the side of his neck, he has a tattoo. And it says Fraser. And it turns out the guy's name is
Darnell Lewis Fraser.
Right. So he gave a fake name to the police while he had the tattoo of his name on the side of his neck. Well, now the police are wondering why he would bother giving a fake name, so they run it, and they find out that the guy's got 5 felony warrants out for him, and a burglary thing, and a whole bunch of other stuff, and so now he's in jail. Because he was crossing the street.
They nailed him
on
jaywalking and ended up throwing him in jail on felony warrants. This is another boy genius.
Right. Because he had his name tattooed on the side of his neck. You know, next time, just get like an eagle or a
spider.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm not a big one for tattoos, and I can't, what's the point of tattooing your name on your neck? You know,
I don't know. So that people know who you are.
At least if
you
get a tattoo of a naked woman on your shoulder, people will know your sexuality, which is important. But did you tattoo your neck so that you remember who you are in the morning? Jesus.
I guess. So you're
right. Of course.
So you can check it in the
mirror. You'd have to tattoo
it
backwards. We have another theme. Oh no, that was the third one.
I got one more.
Right.
That was the third one. But I got one more. Right. I got one more that I want to bring up. And then I know you got a What's Bugging Max. So.
Okay.
So let me just do this one. Okay. This one's from North Carolina. And this is a
Bible
Belt one.
Yeah, as opposed to the guy in Ohio.
Sure. Right. So there's a local school that's getting national attention because a parent was upset that her child was singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in a holiday show.
Right.
She was concerned that the words Christmas and Santa hold religious meaning.
You know
meaning.
That Santa, I know you know this, is a jumble of Satan?
Yes, I do. And that's obviously what this woman was thinking because she had the song pulled out of the holiday concert.
Right.
Now, then she tried to get them to replace it with a Hanukkah song.
Which makes it fairly evident
what the story was, right.
That this is a Jewish woman.
Right. But the school denied that, so then she said that her daughter would not be able to participate in the concert.
and the
school said,
fine.
That's okay because it's not mandatory that she participate in the concert.
Right.
And so now they're all, the whole state is debating this whole thing, as are the news networks and a long list of bloggers.
Yeah, and guess which news network?
Right. But my favorite part of the whole thing is that when they performed the concert on Tuesday night, all the students sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as they walked back to their seats.
But they did actually allow them to sing Rudolph, right?
Not in the concert. They sang it by themselves off, you know, as they walked back to their seats after the show was over.
I thought the story said that the kids were allowed to sing it in the concert, and that's why the mother pulled her kid from the show.
No, it said the song. No, they pulled the kid from the show because they wouldn't put a Hanukkah song in its place.
Oh. No, but it says...
It says the song was not performed as part of the featured program at Tuesday night concert, but the students sang the song on their way back to the seats after the show ended.
Oh, all right. I guess I stopped reading where they determined that the song was secular.
Right. Right. Oh, it did say that it was secular, but that didn't change this woman's opinion.
Well, you know, Jews need to get over themselves, too.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can be as fucking nuts and be Jewish as any other, you know, wild-eyed religious person.
Absolutely. So listen, we're way over time as usual, but that's okay. I know that you got something that's bugging you, so I'm going to ask you to tell me about it.
All right, real quick. Well, and this one, I it's not really that funny, but I wanted to bitch about music in restaurants. Going into a restaurant, we went in, my dad, my sister, and I went out to dinner the other day. And the music was unbelievably loud. And, of course, I can't hear at all, and my dad is deaf. So it was impossible to have a conversation. You end up shouting. Do you ever run into that? Do you ever go to a restaurant and just...
Well, that's why I wanted you to bring this up, because I've not had that experience where the music was too loud in a restaurant. However, I have noticed at times music being too loud in stores.
Yeah.
Although I also was going to comment on the fact that this year, and I haven't done a lot of shopping, but this year it didn't seem to be as much a problem, and I'm not sure if that's because they've dialed the music down or because I am losing my hearing.
Yeah.
And it appears to be not as, you know, not as loud.
Well, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this was an Applebee's, because next time if you get to an Applebee's, you can see whether it's doing that for you, too. Maybe it was just this one restaurant.
I mean, it's possible.
You know, my sister, who has Down syndrome, was just, like, dropping her fork every time the next song came on, because you'd get this little nice break where the song would quit, and then... And it was rock and roll, you know. I don't know who it was. They were bands I didn't know.
It wasn't Christmas.
No, it was rock and roll. And forget it, you know. It would drive you nuts. You didn't want to eat. You wanted to get out of the restaurant. I guess maybe that's my question.
Maybe that's part of the call. Yeah. Maybe they're doing that on purpose to turn over. It was crowded.
No, it wasn't actually crowded, though. That's the thing. But it made me want to leave. And I almost stopped and said, we're never coming back here because the music is too goddamn loud.
Yeah, you probably should have. I mean, they should know that. Maybe they didn't realize
it. The weird thing is I asked them specifically if they'd turned down the music. And the guy said he would. And then it seemed like he turned it down and somebody else turned it back up. And it was even louder the second time. And then it went down again. It's like they were having a fight about it in the kitchen.
And what's this thing about the Dial for Men, the body wash commercial
that you wrote? Well, this is something that could be filed under a number of our topics, and it almost got put under Brian's first rules. It has to do with marketing, and I don't think people realize how much we are marketed to. For years, men used soap, and it was basic soap. I mean, my dad washes his hair with soap. But because Colgate Palmolive and probably any other soap manufacturer wants to expand the market, they came up with these liquid soaps. But they were for women. So now they have this commercial out with Dial for Men, Dial Body Wash for Men. And the song in the background, this commercial is utterly silly. It's Dial for Men, Manly, Manly Men. and they just keep singing that over and over in the background, and they talk about man stink. They have to invent a problem in order to sell you a solution for it. And in this case, the problem is man stink. It's not BO. We used to worry about BO.
But that's not the problem.
No, this is a product exclusively designed for men. And while the guys are singing Manly, manly men, and the voiceover is talking about man stink. You see a demolition derby, right? And the character who's advertising the show, the main focus of the commercial, climbs on top of a car after it explodes into fire, and says something like, "It smells good." And it's all these, like, masculine symbols. Like, it's okay to use this, boys, because it's masculine. Because, they took feminine product and decided to expand the market.
All I can say is I just hope you stink enough to use the body wash, Max. Because if you don't, by that commercial, it would seem that you would not quite be a man.
Well, that's it.
And I couldn't do a podcast with somebody who wasn't quite a man.
So you would rather that I had man stink?
Absolutely. I'd rather you have man stink than you be a girly girl.
Well, I just think it's worthwhile to point out from time to time how much marketing and advertising and focus groups, which is another pet peeve of mine, direct our thinking. But this one, my first time I saw it, it's like the beer commercials where the guy goes, "Well, look at this guy. He hardly knows how to back up a trailer at all." That very deep voiceover guy. And he's laughing at his neighbor who can't seem to back up a trailer, because obviously you need to be able to back up a trailer to be a man. And I the first time I saw it, like this Dial commercial, I thought, this is a joke, right?
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not a joke. So, just this is my clarion call to all the listeners of Countless Screaming Argonauts. Just pay attention to what the commercials say. It's sometimes really, really silly.
You're basically just telling people out there to get your man stink on.
That's right. You know, I use soap. I hope that's okay.
I don't know, Max. You're starting to sound like a girly girl.
I might not. I'm not sure if my stink is up to man standards. I think so. I can be kind of funky sometimes. Maybe if I'm a little more manly, I can use Dial body wash.
Maybe we should get some Countless Screaming Argonauts body wash.
We could sell it right next to the Scrape Master 3000.
Perfect. Perfect.
I think that's great.
A bunch of Countless Screaming Argonauts manly man products.
You're a marketing genius. Just think of the things we could sell if we were only making money on our products.
Well, listen, it's been fun. It's been real fun. Yeah. Stay out of the ice and snow.
I will do that.
Be safe tomorrow when you go to school.
When I go to school. All right. I'll do that. Right. Have a good night. Take it easy. See you tomorrow.
Good night. Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and